We're joined on the telephone now by Jenny Breen. She is the co-founder and co-owner of Good Life Catering in Minneapolis. Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
Are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
I am. I was getting a lot of other background noise there, but now,
sorry about that.
It's good. So we wanted to talk to you because you are going to be up on the shore on February 15th doing a cooking demo at Papa Charlie's on aphrodisiac foods.
That's right.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep, it should be fun.
In honor of Valentine's Day. And that's President's Day, too, isn't it, the 15th?
Yep.
Okay. So folks will have that off. First of all, Jenny, tell us about Good Life Catering and how you started it.
Okay, well, my business partner, Karn Anderson, who actually has lots of friends up there in the North Shore, and I, gosh, we share a love and a passion for good, healthy, whole foods, and just became kind of compelled to start offering something that we didn't think we could find out there, and see if we could make a business out of it. So we, 16 years ago, we started offering catering services, and in 1996, we opened a restaurant here in the cities called the Good Life Cafe, which offered local, sustainable, seasonal whole foods, and sold that but continued to cater. So it's been kind of a long and windy path.
Yeah, but it sounds like you've been making a go for it for 16 years.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
good for you. Tell us a little bit about your food philosophy.
Well, I talked to you a little bit about this earlier today. So I'm really interested in pretty much what I would call real whole foods. And I care a lot about how foods were raised and who raised them and where they come from, and that they're in their natural form as much as possible. So I like to work with, you know, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and whatever we can find that's comes from nearby.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing over the last 16 years that the demand has really increased for catering of that kind of food.
Yeah, we've really, especially I'd say in the last 5 years, we've seen a huge change in kind of awareness and interest. People are really interested in local foods. They want to know where their food's coming from. They want to support small farmers. So yeah, it's really changed a lot.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of events do you work on?
We do a lot of weddings. Our summers and falls are pretty busy. Particularly, we do the kinds of weddings that happen out on farms or out in the country somewhere on, you know, really cool plots of land where people are trying to get as connected to the land as they can. We also work with a lot of groups, you know, do conferences or events that have to do with the environment or with sustainability, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I understand that you also teach a cooking series in the cities. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I teach out at the Minnesota Landscape Arboretum, which does a lot of really wonderful education around, as you can imagine, around gardening and landscape design that is sustainable. They also have a really extensive children's education program that involves a lot of hands-on gardening with the kids.
Hmm.
So I teach, I'm sorry, there's background noise here. I teach adult cooking classes that focus on using local and sustainable foods, and I also work with the kids in kind of how to work more with real whole foods and learning about seasonal eating and, you know, taking things from the garden, turning them into good, yummy food.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things you mentioned when we spoke earlier today is about how you don't want to make it too complicated.
No, I am all about food being fun and easy and enjoyable, and, you know, that goes for adults and for kids. The minute you start making it complicated, people get turned off and feel like they can't do it, and I think that we should all realize that we can make really good, delicious, healthy foods for ourselves and for people we love and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that leads us into the cooking demo you're going to be doing up here on the 15th on aphrodisiac foods. Tell us a little bit about how that came about.
Well, as I said, I do this series out at the Arboretum, and we work a lot with seasonal foods, and we were trying to come up with something that would be great in the middle of winter around Valentine's Day, and of course, we all know that Valentine's Day involves aphrodisiacs in whatever form we can find. So I was interested in the food aspect, and there's quite a bit of really great information and resources out there. So I just started exploring the idea and found that there was just a lot of fun to be had with playing around with the idea of using aphrodisiac foods.
Okay. And for listeners who might not quite know what that is about, can you explain what an aphrodisiac is?
Well, an aphrodisiac, I suppose, would be anything that kind of inspires amorousness or passion. And in terms of food, that's really kind of either based on the way that it looks or what it does inside your body.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, for example...
I'm easy. A hamburger will do that
hamburger?
For me.
Yeah. Would that be the way that something looks or what it does in your body?
Just it's any food. I'm easy.
Okay, well, you probably would be easy, but so foods that might have some kind of a sensual appearance to them, for example, avocados, and I don't know if I can talk about that on the air, but
I think you can.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a traditional culture in South America that refers to the avocado tree as the testicle tree. Mm-hmm. And we can all kind of, you know, understand what they're talking about. But not only are they sort of image-wise do they have that look, but they also are just a really creamy, sensual food to eat. So that's a really fun thing. Something like almonds is considered to represent more of the feminine genitalia. And you mentioned to me earlier that it's supposed to... Tell me what you found on the internet about almonds.
Oh, that the aroma is supposed to induce passion in women.
There we go. Mm-hmm. So all you men out there, or women for that matter, think about that. So, and then the other thing with foods is what they would do in your body. So, for example, ginger is a really great example of something, because we all know that ginger creates heat inside your body, which... is one of the things that is connected to amorousness and passion. So basically these kinds of things, garlic, onions, those are kind of the heat-inducing foods. So you just kind of take a look at what those are and then create some wonderful meals around that.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us a little bit. I know the demo is February 15th at 6 o'clock at Papa Charlie's.
Right.
And I think pre-registration is required if you want to participate in eating.
Right.
I've got the phone number here for that. It's 663-7800 if anybody wants to make a reservation. But tell us a little bit about what that's going to look like and what the menu is.
The menu is going to involve a stuffed squash with quinoa, which is a South American grain. That's really good for you, but it's also kind of round and sensual. We will be doing a salad that has roasted beets. And I can't say that I know for sure that beets are an aphrodisiac, but they are one of the most beautiful vegetables
I think
I've ever seen. And they're blood red, which is obviously a Valentine's Day theme. Although they do actually come in other colors.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also doing a chocolate ginger cake. And one more thing. I think that we're doing a cornbread with a honey garlic butter. So that's got a lot of interesting subtleties just in the butter.
Mm-hmm. And so these ingredients were chosen for their aphrodisiac qualities, I assume?
Well, most of them. I mean, you have to have other things that just tie it together and make it taste good, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, definitely that's the idea behind it.
Okay.
I think the way that it works is that there's a demonstration that people can observe, and then after that, if people want to eat, that's kind of a separate registration.
Mm-hmm.
So you can watch me. I'll explain how easy it is and how fun it is, and then answer questions, and then you get to eat.
Mm-hmm. And that phone number is 663-7800 if people want to call and register or get more information. Jenny, before we let you go, I also want to ask you about you are working on a master's degree in public health nutrition.
Yep.
Which sounds really cool. Tell us a little bit about what that's about.
Well, I don't know how long ago, maybe since I've been involved with food, I've also been really aware that there seems to be a disconnect out in the world between health and food. Mm-hmm. As ironic as that may sound, a lot of people don't really realize how much eating has to do with how healthy we are and the health, really, of our communities and our land. And so somewhere along the line, I just realized that I needed to dive deeper into the studying piece of this and really learn how I could combine my love and passion for food and cooking with actually helping people be more successful at being healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point, it just clicked that public health was a way to explore that more and learn more about the nutrition science part of it while also learning how to have an impact in the community around this. Mm-hmm. So I was really fortunate to receive a Bush Foundation fellowship to go back to school and study public health nutrition.
Wow, so good for
that's
you.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah. Yeah, it's been really interesting, and I absolutely feel that cooking is crucial to sustaining a healthy community.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Jenny, where can folks find out more information about your catering company?
They can go to www.goodlifecatering.com, and we are also on Facebook, so find us there as well.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, it would be great if we had a good crowd up at Lucerne. I'm looking forward to being up there, but it would be fun to see some enthusiastic faces for the class. So come on out.
Okay, well, it sounds like a lot of fun. And go ahead, Tom.
I was just going to ask you, Jenny, in your research, have you found any almond extract cologne for men to wear? Or does that work? Or
I think that would be
just a drop behind the ear or something. Yeah.
Okay. I would say you could probably create one.
I probably could.
You could actually probably just rub a little almond extract behind your ears or anywhere else you want and see what happens.
I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me know how it goes.
Yeah. Jenny. Probably better than rubbing hamburger on me.
Yeah,
yes,
probably.
Yes, I would definitely have to agree with that.
Okay.
Well, thanks so much, Jenny, and we'll look forward to seeing you up on the shore February 15th.
All right. My pleasure.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Jenny Breen. She is the co-owner of Good Life Catering. She's going to do a demo and class on aphrodisiac foods at Papa Charlie's Monday, February 15th at 6 p.m.
I thought she was well prepared for talking about that on the radio. She did a nice job.
She did. She did a tasteful job.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Jenny. That was great. You know, Tom, it occurs to me that you learned about the aphrodisiac foods just in time for your wedding anniversary.
Oh, I did.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, right. I wonder.
Almond extract?
Almond extract.
I think.
Yeah.
Is Johnson still open?
It might be. No. Yeah, they are till 5 minutes to six, isn't it?
So, I think so.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That sounds like fun. I have a huge list of aphrodisiac foods that I printed out as well doing research for this. So
okay.
If you'd like to borrow it, you're welcome.
Yeah. Tapioca pudding, is that on there?
I don't think so.
Well, have you ever seen the really big tapioca? That's what I was thinking about when she was talking about aphrodisiac food. I was thinking about tapioca
really?
Pudding. Yeah. Huh. You could put almond extract in tapioca.
Well, hang on. Let me look at the list and see if it's there. Oh, okay. That'd be a double whammy, huh?
Yeah.